Trev here. No Dan today, and our regular podcast partner is actually taking the seat of a guest today. He's going answering questions. I don't know what's going on. The world is an upside down place at the moment, but Ben is back. Nobody can see his beard, but it's looking deadly. He's wearing some cool esports merch that he's going to talk about, but we're actually going to catch up with Ben about a trip to Kansas. And I'm actually well gel of this because for all the years working in esports, I've never gone to a major event in the US, and Mr. Finnegan has achieved that. So, Ben, look, I mean, give us the context of what we're doing here, what we're going to chat about.
Yeah, thanks for having me on as a guest. I feel pretty privileged.
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm just back from Kansas. The Halo Kansas City Majors was on last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We had J-Lings competing, so I was over there with those guys. It was a fantastic experience. Like, as you said, it's a major esports tournament in the U.S. One of those things that you, if you're interested in esports, you aspire to attending one day. So it was nice to be there in attendance, but it was also nice to be there with the team to see the kind of inner workings of an event like this. It was everything that I thought it was going to be.
Let's kind of break it down, you're there with a team, J-Lings. For anybody that doesn't know J-Lings, it's Jesse Lingard's esports team. We've mentioned it before, but you know, with other hats on, you know, we support that. But from a podcast hat on and taking Ben, like, I mean, you get there, you're into Kansas, you know, you don't know what to expect, you know, like, what's the venue? Where is this? Is this in a hall? Is this in a hotel? You know, like, compared to maybe a European experience? I mean, where is this thing being held?
So I sent you a photo pretty much when I arrived, and it was outdoor advertising for the event. So yeah. Amazing Halo branding on every lamppost and streetlight, which is pretty cool because it's the kind of stuff that you see for the Six Nations or, you know, an arts festival in Dublin, for example. You're walking around the city, you see that kind of branding outdoors. You would never see it for an esports event in Ireland, possibly not in the UK or in mainland Europe. So it was nice arriving that you're walking up the street and all of a sudden you knew that this event was on.
And did that give you a sense then of something, like, you know, and you hit the point, like, you know, like when you're going, yeah, like you see when races are coming up, you see these, you know, marathon signs and everything. It kind of builds a sense of anticipation, excitement, you know, around it.
Well, it just sort of legitimizes the event, doesn't it? Because I've been to so many esports events in Dublin, and, you know, it's in an anonymous hotel conference room. There's certainly no branding on the way in. You only know about it because you're part of the community. But that's the level that esports is kind of at in Ireland. You get over to the US and it's just like any other sport that just happened to be on that weekend. There was all the branding and regalia that comes with that. And then, you know, it was in the convention center, Kansas City Convention Center, which is one of the biggest buildings I've ever been in. So it's not like it was in a cheap and cheerful hotel conference room. Or community hall. It was in the main venue where they have all of the biggest concerts, theater plays, all that kind of stuff. So it was in the main venue, and the scale of this thing was just enormous. You arrive in, do all the security checks, which, as you can imagine, are pretty thorough in America, metal detectors, all that kind of crack, get registered, you go up an escalator, and it opens out into this massive, massive arena. All the big screens, lights, LEDs. You know, it was a proper show.
Okay. And like, so like we're saying, like, this is something that's at scale, like a Dua Lipa concert or, you know, like that Ed Sheeran down at Thomond Park last night, you know, or so we're talking at that level of production, that level of yep. Kit, everything. And like, is that backed up then by, you know, the buy-in from Kansas? Like, I mean, to go back to the street for a second, you know, we see these deadly signs and that. Are people kind of looking up going, what's that? Is that a UFO coming into the city? Or are they kind of going, are they ignoring it? Or are some people going, actually, this is pretty cool?
Yeah, a lot of people knew you know, because obviously they hear an Irish accent and they're like, oh, you're not from around here. What has you in Kansas? And I said, oh, I'm with the Halo event. And every single person was like, oh, cool, that's on in the convention center. Like, they knew about it.
Okay.
Whether they were interested or not, I don't know. But it was just sort of like, oh, cool, you're with the, you know, the big event that's on in the convention center. So people certainly did know about it, but they didn't bat an eyelid and go, what? Esports?
Yeah.
Video games? Which you would expect in Ireland, and certainly, you know, speaking to family and friends before I left, they're like, where are you going? Why are you going? That's just people sitting playing video games. Whereas in the States, it's certainly normalized, and, you know, it's a legitimate big scale event where there was easily 10,000 people in attendance who bought tickets.
Okay, so 10,000 people in attendance, an escalator up, which already, for me, kind of says it's big, because escalators only go to big places. The security check, you get in there, okay, and, like, you know, what's the layout? You know, like you know, you mentioned big stages, you know, the seating, I guess, you know, fans in there. I mean, is it like going to a concert?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you go into the Three Arena, you know, it's dark, big stage in front of you with the lights and production that comes with that. Like, honestly, it's at that scale, and it was really kind of, for me, reinforces the opportunity that we have here on this side of the world to bring a level of entertainment that delivers, because, you know, the calendar could be filled up. You have concerts that come around maybe once a month in the big venues. You know, you could fill the calendar with esports events for the times that the big concerts aren't there, and you would get the footfall, and you would get a, like, this was a whole weekend of entertainment for individuals. Yeah. And now it was very expensive in the venue. Like, a bottle of water was €5.
So okay, expensive, fine. Okay, but we talk about the entertainment piece, because you're talking to friends and family before you head over to there. What are you going over to people playing you know, video games, computer games? But talk about the entertainment value on it there. I mean, what's the, you know, 10,000 people sitting down, you know, as you say, or people are saying they're watching people playing a video game, but what was the entertainment value, you know, around it? You know, is it loud music? Are we hearing the sounds of the players, the interaction between the players? And we see the action on the screen, I get it. You know, what's the experience like, or the entertainment value?
So from a Halo competitive perspective, it's watching these guys compete. Halo is a very, very accessible and entertaining game to watch. And, you know, whether you have experience of the game or not, you can get into the competition of it straight away, because it is quite exciting. And the noise in this place of people, you know, screaming and shouting at various parts of the game was just, it was so loud. It was so noisy. And so you had your main stage where a lot of the high profile games were being played, stunning, huge, big screens, all the stuff that comes with that. And then there were still games ongoing to the side. So there was another stage with three stations where there were teams competing. And then there were open brackets, of which there must have been about 14 or 15 stations where teams were trying to compete to enter the pools. So it was just nonstop competition with, I think there was about 32 or 34 teams there altogether, competing over the weekend with some of the biggest names in esports: FaZe, Fnatic, Cloud9, Complexity, you know, all the top dogs were there. Optic, it was great. I got to see Formal in person. So if anyone,
nice,
just Google Optic Formal, like, he's one of the most famous esports players. Seriously nice dude as well. Attending the event, you go to a soccer match, you see the people on the pitch, then they disappear down the tunnel. You don't really get to kind of interact with them at this event. All those top players are just wandering around the floor, signing jerseys, chatting with players, getting photos. They were just there all weekend. So, like, the amount of conversations I had with some of the, you know, most notable players in esports was just like chatting to anyone at any event, you know, that kind of way. Yeah. So that's a really cool part of esports in the community. If you're part of the Halo community, you could be just interest in the game, you buy a ticket, you go to the event, and you could mingle with any of these top players, and they don't mind.
But that's incredible, and I love hearing the invigorated and the passion about it all, you know, on it. And, like, you know, so the players are roaming around freely. I mean, the teams, like, you know, what's the setup, you know, of it? Like, where are the teams basing themselves? You know, 34 teams there. And by the way, I love the talk of this kind of live open bracket qualifier while you're doing a live event. Like, wow.
Yeah, it was really cool to watch. Just the level of competition, you know, it's really exciting to watch. And, you know, you were watching the brackets being filled live. So, you know, in Jayling's group, for example, there was in the pool group, there was a space for an open bracket team. So we didn't know who was going to be in that. We didn't know who we were going to be playing. So we were kind of keeping an eye on the open brackets to see who was doing well, trying to do the mental maths of where they might end up. You know, we ended up having to play against Luminosity and Complexity from the open brackets, which was really, really cool to play against those top teams and just watching these guys like compete. And there were some really good amateur teams there as well. I sent you a message about one of them, you know, teams that just made their way over themselves to try and compete. So it's just an exciting community, and there's a great like access for grassroots. If you're good enough, you can be playing in a Halo major. Like, that's pretty exciting. So
yeah, that's a nice carrot. And like, you know, there was a kind of a home favorite there, you know, in terms of the Pioneers and like, what was the fandom like, you know, from their fan base? You know, we mentioned 10,000. Were the majority of these Pioneers fans, you think? Or
Yeah. There was a serious amount of Kansas City Pioneer fans there, which is cool. We were playing against them in the pools and you know, there was home advantage. They had a section of the audience screaming and shouting, KCP, KCP. And that it added to the atmosphere of the event for those that were neutral. But for teams playing against Pioneers, it was quite intimidating because you couldn't help but hear these guys and their support. Cloud9 had a big following. Sentinels had a big following. What I was really surprised, and maybe I shouldn't have been as surprised, was that FaZe had about 10 people there. Like, one of the biggest esports organizations, but having a conversation with someone, they made the point that FaZe has sort of decentralized themselves. They don't have that local hometown. They're more of like a global esport team and maybe leaning more into a media house. So they don't have that necessarily diehard following that would attend an event. Now, there were some neutrals there who were like, cool, that's FaZe, I'm going to get a signature or whatever, but they didn't have the fan base that, you know, people wearing their jerseys attending to watch them play. It was just incidental that they happened to be there. So I thought that was interesting. But having a following, I think, is key. And, you know, Jaylings have another event on in Valencia, be a European Super. I would hope that we can drive a bit of participation from a Jaylings fan base there to attend, because it makes a difference. It really does.
No, absolutely. And it seems too. And I think that's the, that was probably, you know, when we were back and forth, kind of, that was one of the mad things that was sticking out for me was the, I guess it's probably the first LAN event as well in a couple of years. So again, you know, having that people shouting, you know, KCP is going to have an impact when you're not used to it after being kind of, in bedrooms and boot camp venues for the last year. So I think it's a good experience, but I think that's what adds to it though. That's what creates that entertainment value as well, is that level of fandom.
Yeah. Oh, completely. And the top teams all had stands there where they were selling merch. So Cloud9, Sentinels, FaZe, United, they all had merch there. So they were retailing jerseys, t-shirts, magnets, lanyards, all that kind of crack, which was pretty cool to see. And then a few of them had their brand partnerships there. So Space Station Gaming had Overnight Oats, which we've spoken about before because it is a perfect product for esports. They had them there sampling. There was Big Game Energy partnering with Space Station as well. The Sentinels had G Fuel with them handing out product, and FaZe had Relentless with them handing out product. Okay. So it was either energy drink or Astro headphones, things like that. So it was you know, closely related esports products. But I thought the Overnight Oats was an interesting one because it is transitioning into that audience. Made perfect sense because it's, you know, fuel on the go kind of thing.
Yeah, really interesting. I mean, it's and I guess, like, you know, from your experience on it, I mean, what's your big takeaway from an Ireland UK perspective? I mean, obviously the UK has had ESL, they've had Face It majors, they've had major FIFA tournaments. Ireland, yeah, we've yet to taste those dizzy heights. Like, but I mean, did you come away thinking this can be in Ireland? Let's make it happen. Did you come away, or did you come away thinking, this would be hard to pull off here?
Ireland has all of the capabilities of putting on a big event. Like, we've seen that over the last, 20 years plus. Like, I remember I was working in an events agency and they managed to get the tender for the Europa League that was going to be played in Ireland. It was the first time the Europa League final was going to be played, was played in the Aviva. Mm-hmm. You know, we could bring big events to Ireland. We've had NFL here in the Aviva Stadium, or not NFL, the college football. But, you know, that's because someone has seen that there is a big interest in American football in Ireland. Can they fill the Aviva Stadium with supporters? Yes, they can. So they brought an event here. It's the same as esports. There is enough people in Ireland interested in esports now to warrant having one of these big events. It's just, you know, who's going to bring it over? Because we have the facilities, we have the capabilities. It would bring serious entertainment value. And the thing about esports is it typically runs like that from a Friday to a Sunday. So you're getting, you know, 3+ days of individuals at a venue spending money. I spent a fortune. Like, I'm wearing merch that I bought for teams, all the food, drinks, everything else that goes with it. So Ireland should be definitely looking at bringing something like this over.
Yeah, I must say that I like the Cloud Nine top. Pretty cool. I think when we post this podcast, you need to post a picture of the Cloud Nine top.
Yeah.
Right, our takeaway on this, Ben. Will we try and see, can we bring a major tournament to Ireland? And yeah. We come back in a year's time and we do a podcast and we see, did we succeed?
Yeah, I love it. We should definitely do that. We've spoken about it at length. Ireland is primed to be a hub for a big European event. We have some massive AAA developers here. You know, there's a lot of people working for Microsoft in Ireland. So there's no reason why there couldn't be a Halo event. We have Riot. Why isn't there a League of Legends event? We have the venues, we have the facilities, and we could bring a whole kind of different slant to it. So let's get working on it.
In the words of my 5-year-old Owen when he's watching Preston Plays, like and comment. So we want people to comment on what esports event should we be looking to bring to Ireland, and in 12 months time we will update and see where we've got with that. Brilliant, Ben, as always. Awesome. Love it.